When you both think back, what do you remember most about your working collaboration? Would that be the same as other people have?
Interested to hear both your thoughts on modern filmmaking techniques and style as an effective way to motivate and get urgent environmental messages out there.
This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast with him.
William Mankler, thanks very much for being with us for another episode of this podcast.
And me, Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott, with a baseball cap precariously balanced on the top of my head.
And you've got it not back to front like Andre Agassi.
Yeah, Andre Agassi. Agiondrasy.
That's the one.
Anyway, we get questions sent to us by listeners, and we conversate around them. We don't necessarily debate. Sometimes when we have a guest, we might do that, but we have a conversation, and we just explore the big issues and try and break them down into bite-sized chunks and bring it back to the environment, because some of the questions we get set feels like it's nothing to do with the environment, but there's always a way of bringing it back. We try and normalise the big issues by talking openly about them, and that can open us up to criticism, but hey-ho. And we through our actions that we try and come up with, we try and address some of the issues that we discuss. Anyway, who are the two listeners that have sent in questions for today, William?
We have Caroline from South Holland, the Netherlands. And mm-hmm. Then we have Youssef from, is it Kocaeli?
Something like that.
Kocaeli, Turkey. They're the two.
Yeah, they've never sent in questions before, I don't think.
Kocaeli.
Yeah, Kocaeli.
Yes.
So, can I have a read of? Because I never get my voice heard on this podcast.
No, you don't. And I'm going to read along as you talk, but say it. So I'll make sure you've got every single word correct, Stuart.
So I'm going to call her Caroline. I think that's how you pronounce it. The question is, when you both think back, what do you remember most about your working collaboration? Would that be the same as other people have? So I think she's asking how we remember it might not be the same as other people, the outside world. Mm. When you both look back, what do you remember most about your working collaboration? Would that be the same as other people have? Well, I don't know about other people because, you know, they're not here to tell me.
Well, I don't know about what I don't really would know. You can describe it, Stuart.
Yeah.
And I can describe it as well. But we still have our own filter.
Yeah.
So I can't say, I'd fully understand it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. What do you remember most about your work and collaboration? It does sound like you're talking about in the past tense here as well. That's just my own interpretation of
when
the
you think back,
question.
Yeah, what do you... when I think back, I think you held me back. My career went downhill after I could start collaborating with you.
Yes, and there was never going to be a serious answer. And if that's a serious answer, I shall just go out of the door right now. You've got an email. There's a thing. There's a thing, right. Yeah. I've just sent you an email. So that's my resignation email.
Yeah. You've got nothing to resign from. Anyway, when I think back... I think about other people, actually. Back in about 2013-14, when I was trying to meet loads of different people I could collaborate with, it's just the sheer volume of people, for various reasons, who just fell by the wayside. Some of it was ego on whoever's part. Some of it was just some people scared of success. Some people were playing at business. It's just what I remember most is it's very hard to find long-term collaborators.
My long-term memory of this collaboration is it's been a fun ride. Mm. There have been challenges for myself and
like
just getting up and talking in front of people.
Oh yeah. We got to give a talk soon. You need to amplify your voice more.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are challenges, but along the way, it has become more of a, in a way, a bit of a joyride. In a way, I've begin to every single bit of work that Stuart and I do together is just another. It brings more material for this podcast, for anything that we do, will refer back to something that's happened. It's just more history. It's more
anecdotes.
More anecdotes. It's just there's just more, and I think it just we both understand each other a lot better. We understand how we both work. We kind of, I wouldn't say we finish each other's sentences, but we know when the other person needs a break from talking, like I do now. I'm thinking out loud, really.
Yeah, I think I've said all I've got to say on that. It's just, it's my memory is it shows how hard it is to find long-term collaborators for whatever reason.
It is hard, and
I'm going to turn my emails off because they're annoying me.
It is hard, because we both put a strong criteria about who we actually want to work with.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain people that I've
worked with and for.
Worked with, yeah, mostly worked with and collaborated with that. It just hasn't worked in some ways.
But do you notice that you begin to realize it's not working than you used to?
I think it's more of a case of that I've personally, there was a big event that happened to me last year, and it made me realize just how much I need to make myself more important in things. I can so easily just I've always been used to being in the background, and because of that, then the relationships, and especially working relationships, would last longer than they should do, because they just don't bring anything. They're just there for just because they are there. I think when I look back, there's a reliability in this working, in our collaboration.
There's always been a momentum.
Momentum
to where? Who knows?
But that's not really that important. The momentum where we're going to is, there's always something we're going to in the short term.
Yeah.
And the long term has always been that we develop this. We continue to develop it. I don't even consciously think about it, because, you know, we do these podcast episodes, and whenever I do a podcast episode, I'm only ever really thinking about this podcast episode. There's other thoughts in my head that I'm thinking about the talk we're doing this evening. That's in there somewhere. But the most primary thought of me doing something right now. Because if I concentrate on what I'm doing now and the performance that I'm doing now, it will actually improve my performance this evening. And then there's that snowball effect. And it's the same with the collaboration.
Any actions? Or advice? I think this is more advice, really, than
There's actions. No real actions to come out of this, I don't think.
What about advice if people starting out, or in the middle of a collaboration, or feeling they're coming towards an end? Is it the same advice for all three?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, it's all a very unique situation. You know, I think there's always been opportunity for either of us to walk away at any moment, but we haven't. I think that's a good sign of a good collaboration.
Yeah,
because there has been, hasn't there?
Yep.
Every moment we do this podcast, you know, I've actually mentioned before that what do we want to do this podcast? Do we want to continue this podcast forever? And the answer has always been,
as long as the questions are interesting, we might.
Yeah, you do one episode at a time. We don't set a limit to it. We don't set a limit to anything. We just kind of maybe that's part of it. We don't set a limit to our thinking.
Yeah. So the next question. Thank you, Caroline. The next question is from Yusuf in Turkey. Don't think we've ever had a listener sending a question from Turkey.
Kocaeli. So Yusuf, thank you very much for your question. I've just said that was his name almost. Kocaeli is his name. I thought we did look up the pronunciation beforehand, didn't we?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. So thanks for your question, Yusuf. Yusuf said, interested to hear both your thoughts on modern filmmaking techniques and style as an effective way to motivate and get urgent environmental messages out there.
Two things for me on this. modern filming techniques frustrate the hell out of me. Because, especially for myself, I struggle with epilepsy, a form of epilepsy. It's very, well, when you see a trailer for something, you get half a second. So you get these half a second snippets of what this film is about. Bang, 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 bang. That's not great for people with epilepsy because you're just flicking all the time. And I understand it's a good way of getting the message across and it works well. But I also think I want a bit more meat on the bone on this. Mm. There's also the BBC way of speaking. The deep in, like Jeremy Clarkson used to do it and it on Top Gear. And it moved on to his other co-hosts as well. He used to, you know, go and then carry on the sentence. It was just sort of like it's an artificial way of building up towards something. And then you got the Robert Pestons of the world. He uses this very slow way of talking and goes like this. And then when he talk 100 miles an hour like this, and it's so false. And I think let's slow down. Let's have more longer snippets and just a bit more genuine. That's my thoughts on modern day filming. But that's separate to modern day filming to motivate people how to react.
Because you're talking about your own experience rather than somebody else, basically.
Yeah.
Modern, and you synonymize modern filmmaking then with the short, almost TikTok style, very quick, rapid fire scenes. Yeah, I go to quite a few films in a year, and the trailers that always stick with me are the ones that actually give the scene they're presenting some breath.
Hmm.
It's not just continue bang, 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 bang. You want to know, you want to go have some idea of what the film feels like, what the movie feels like. But is modern filmmaking really, are modern filmmaking techniques and style is it an effective way to motivate and get urgent environmental messages out there? I think it's sort of, like if we synonymize it, and we can only guess this, Yusuf, because it's almost like we need to sort of like extrapolate the question out a bit more so we can get a little bit of meat on the bone so we can fully understand what you're asking us. But we can only take it from what we have in front of us. But it kind of almost like it's a little, it's like more dramatic. Is it making it more too, is it making it too over dramatic?
Maybe. Modern day filming to me is sort of like trying to, it thinks the audience is in the middle of an orgasm, whereas I think they should be treating us like we're in the middle of a pint of Guinness. You know, savour it. You know, get the message across. Chill out, man. But with the modern day filming techniques, is an effective way of motivating the urgent environmental messages to get out there. I think modern day understanding of what the audience needs to motivate them is there.
Yeah,
I think the techniques are there's so much effects, video effects, and I just think some films I've watched or messages, it's almost they have these effects just to show they can do it. We can do this.
Yeah, that. I will make a point about like modern filming techniques. And so I've seen in the last year, I work for a cinema, so I get to see three films on a very regular basis. In the last year, I've seen over 25 films. And a lot of those are within the created within the last two or three years. And there is no overall technique you could say that would be exactly the same in every single film. You know, that a lot of the films we see I've seen actually are a pace just right. We saw a story. There's a particular film which I really enjoyed recently called The End We Start From, which is an apocalyptic film based in the United Kingdom, and it's quite pertinent in some ways right now because of how much flooding we've got, of a cataclysmic flood that's happening in the United Kingdom. But it's based entirely around the experiences of a young mother who's having their, who gives birth to their first her first child at the time of this cataclysmic event, and it's all based around the people who are affected by it. The
real people that you can relate to.
They're real people that I can relate to. To some degree, absolutely. I mean, it is science fiction. It is slightly poetic as well. But the thing I found really good about it was that the things that were happening to the characters, or the thing that was happening to the country, you didn't really see until the very end. It was all just talked about.
Right.
So it was all very slow. The first third of that film was quite slow. And I think that is a really good way of getting a message across, because you're beginning to... It felt real. It didn't feel like it was overhyped. It didn't feel like, this is an apocalyptic film, so we're going to have explosions and we're going to have quick cuts and stuff like that. It was very much based around the human experience.
Well, you're saying there's different techniques are needed. So to get the message across through film, or to motivate people to act in the face of the climate and the ecological crisis, it is, you know, different formats, you know, get the characters the audience can see themselves in those characters.
Yeah.
You can make the challenges those characters have, make them human. So, you know, you don't see it as, well, this is just fiction. This is not real. You can relate to it. It impacts you.
Yes.
Timing, the order of things. But is modern, well, let me read the top of that question again. The modern filmmaking techniques and style, are they effective way at motivating us? They can be. But I don't think anybody is thinking about people with epilepsy or anything like that when you do, because it's just, I have lots of programs on telly or adverts of programs I just cannot watch. So I'm just not absorbing that information. And I'm not the only one. You're going to have people with other cognitive issues. So maybe mix up the style a bit. We have the capacity.
Yeah, I think it's... Do you feel there's a... it's trying to compete, because you're watching a lot of television, aren't you?
Well, I have been, and not for the last week, because there's no television within a mile of where I am, but...
Yes, but you're...
Generally, yeah.
It sounds like what you're talking about is more talking about television, and I think television is trying to compete with social media.
Yeah, television. I don't go to the cinema.
Yeah.
So I don't watch films.
Yeah.
Well,
apart from True Grit.
Yeah. You know, God, she reminds me of me. Then we might not get on. Anyway, what was I saying? I got put off by John Wayne then.
You don't watch a lot of films.
Oh yeah, yeah. But with I don't watch a lot of films, but yeah, the television is trying to compete, but it's also a medium that should be used. You know.
Yes.
But I also see you making television, making films, you're still using cameras.
Yes.
You're still using the same thought processes. So I think the capacity is there, but I don't think we're getting it right.
Within filmmaking, I think there is the capacity there because of creative ideas, So people will come up with very creative ideas. I saw a film recently, another film called The Zone of Interest, which is completely nothing to do with the environment, but they actually had, they set the cameras up where the production crew were nowhere near the cameras. So the actors only had the cameras in the space they were in,
right?
Which is quite an interesting way of doing things. So there are creative ways of thinking about these things. We can't be repetitive, that's one thing, because we humans don't like repetition, generally speaking. We've got to think about creative ways of using these modern techniques to get the message across on a continuous basis.
Another way of looking at this question is looking at the film industry to provide the motivation. It's a part of the jigsaw, and then very few people are going to be motivated by something they see. They're going to be motivated by something they experience in their own life, maybe a personal interaction, and then they see a film, you know, and it tips them over into, okay, acting, you know, doing something. So yes. I don't think, I'm not sure I'm reading this question right, but so it's almost saying that the film industry should be the catalyst for change. And I don't, it's a component part. That's my thought.
It's not the only thing, is it?
Yeah. Well, any actions? My action would be, what are the other things that sit alongside the film industry, if we got it right, to motivate? What motivates you?
I agree with that.
Okay, so another episode of the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast with him.
William Manclow, thanks very much for being with us. We are steadily heading towards our 600th episode. Oh, it'll take us a while to get there, but we'll steadily get there.
Okay, and who's... where are... Don't say who, but where are the listeners from in the next episode that have set questions?
Well, two places that have sort of like a water theme to them. You'll see what I mean, what I've done here. But the one is from Carfu Atoll, which is in the Maldives.
Wow, man.
And the second one is from fish ponds in Bristol.
Yeah, you see what you did there.